Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Folks, you're all very welcome back to the Talk of the Terrace on Celtic Fanzine TV and on audio on the Celtic Soul podcast. If you're tuning into Celtic Fanzine TV, please hit the subscribe button and you'll never miss an episode. And if you're listening on the podcast, it's available across all platforms, so please hit the subscribe or follow button. Now, joining me on the show today is a regular guest, Matt McGlone, editor of the Alternative View fanzine, author of Emotionally Celtic, and the founder of Celts for Change fan movement back in the early 90s, when the Rebels were the winners, the old board were oisted, and a new era at Celtic Park began when Fergus McCann took control of the boardroom. Matt, you're very welcome back onto the show for a chat. The last time we spoke, we were both a little unhappy with the direction the club was being taken by those in the boardroom. And on the field, our away form was causing us and the majority of Celtic fans a few sleepless nights. But since then, we've won twice on the road. Before the international break, we beat a struggling Aberdeen up there. And on Saturday, we saw an improving Motherwell team who went into the game quite confident of exposing our weaknesses, but they didn't, and we dominated the game.
Yeah, I think the thing about Saturday was, apart from getting a game at 3 o'clock.
On a Saturday?
I think the thing was, from the beginning, Celtic looked in control. Not in a real dominant way, but just in an assured way. That you know, the goals were going to come, and both goals were crackers. I mean, the ball from Rogic through for Jota was fantastic, fantastic ball, and David Turnbull's postage stamp shot was magnificent. But I just felt that Celtic had this assuredness about them, as if they ran out, you know, knowing that they were the better team. And Ange said prior to the game that, you know, Celtic had come into this probably the best prepared than he's ever seen them since he took over. So you had an air of confidence about you there that, you know, the injuries had cleared up, all the players had come back from international duty, no injuries, and he'd more or less put out the team that he would want to pick. You know, obviously James Forrest is missing and Julien is missing as well. But, you know, he's kind of well covered there now, considering players are back from injury. Last time we were speaking, there was quite a lot of players injured. We had a very weak bench. So, yeah, things are looking good. Up at Aberdeen, there's one thing I thought about the Aberdeen game, the victory. You know, although we hadn't played fantastically well, we had played midweek on the Thursday, you know, while Aberdeen had sat with their feet up. That does make a difference, you know, when it's game after game and, you know, they're not playing midweek after midweek. I felt like the result there was, for confidence-wise, it was really important. I think it put into players' heads, you know, they can win away from home. Now, we're talking here, and we should be saying to ourselves, so what we talked about, we can win away from home. But we had this problem. We had this hoodoo. We hadn't won away from home what was it, January, February last year. And so just to get that offer back was good. And I think psychologically, it was a big turning point for the players. If we were to say at the start of the season, we had back-to-back games at Pittodrie and Fir Park, we'd be saying, you know, that could be tricky. But we've been to both and we've picked up 6 points. So, you know, things are going well. I've always been a backer of Ange. I always think he came in and took over a bit of a mess. And, you know, above him, there hasn't been great leadership with chief executive lasting 72 days. There's not a director of football. You know, he's had all the injuries to deal with, to get rid of players who didn't want to be at the club, and brought players in a hurry. So I think we get ourselves through to January, keeping in touch. I think you'll see a stronger Celtic come January. But pretty pleasing what we're doing just now.
Yeah, and it's great to see the fans back, you know, travelling. Buses are full again, and it's just great to see. Pittodrie was great, and then Motherwell on Saturday. We kicked off at Livingston. They were still waiting on Ward for tickets for away in Europe, but the signs are good, Matt, because like Celtic seem to always get a lift when the fans are there backing them, especially at away games, because when we lost to Bayer Leverkusen, it was a sad sight because people were streaming out of the stadium early, and it does have an effect on players when they see that when the final whistle goes that, you know, the stadium, it was the least people I'd seen in the stadium since these great nights returned to Celtic Park. And just to see the fans getting, you know, like the buzz around getting away tickets now and arguing over them and who's getting them, and like it's great that we're having these arguments and conversations, because to hear, you know, this is the day that we win away, it's just great, you know.
Yeah, well, I have to say, I made a great sacrifice on Saturday at Fir Park there. I was in with a chance of getting a ticket from somebody. It hadn't been confirmed, and in between time, my daughter phoned up and said that she'd get a ticket for her and her son, my grandson, and there's two other children there to watch, and her husband was working. So I made a great sacrifice, and I did a bit of babysitting, and she went to the game, and I didn't. But I paid my £12. I could have maybe went for the dodgy stream, but I paid my £12 to make sure I got it on Motherwell TV. And it looked great. I've spoken to people who were at the game, and they were saying, just like you said there, it was back to the old days. It was, you know, everybody was into it. Everybody was aiming for the one thing. The atmosphere was there, by all accounts. People were enjoying themselves. They were all mixing against Celtic. They were playing good football. And I think it was a real return, you know, without actually being there, but from speaking to people, I think it was a real return to days when Celtic fans loved the way it is, you know.
Yeah, and I think... Sorry, Mac. I just think that... you know, getting back to these away days, it's like we've spoke so many times about the whole day of Folly and Celtic, and for us a home game is an away game, but for those in Glasgow, it's just, even if it's only out the road, it's just great to get, you know, because, you know, last year, like, watching empty stadiums was soul destroying, and I just felt so I felt great yesterday, even though I was slightly hungover, but I felt great that we're almost back, you know, fans are back, and, you know, if we can just get over the line now with tickets for Europe, we'll be singing a merry song.
Yeah, it's great. So, you know, you're talking about the Leverkusen game there. You know, I think we've spoken previous programmes throughout this season that Europe, I think, has come at the wrong time for us this year. You know, I think that, you know, we have to regroup, and, you know, the major thing that we want is the league championship. We want that flag back. As far as I'm concerned, that's ours, and we want it back. So Europe, you know, can create problems because we're playing with a small squad, and those players are having to play twice a week. So that, for me, you know, is a wee bit of a problem. Travelling, you know, we haven't got a great deal to go with the teams that we're playing in Europe. But just the fact that we're having to prepare for another game and not prepare for the game that is most important, the league championship game, and the other team not playing at all. You know, I just feel that I would have gave up Europe this year just to get the team focused on the main prize, the league championship.
Yeah, you did say that before, Matt. You said that Europe was a distraction, but it's here. We're in the Europa League. We play Ferencváros on Tuesday at a strange time of 3:30 in the afternoon. We'll talk about Saturday, 3 o'clock. Oh, I'll be over. We're back with Celtic AM in the new venue. We're in Morphy's. So it's the first one since the St Mirren game when we used to be in Malone. So it's been a long time. We had a false dawn. We had one booked, but the venue wasn't ready to open. So, we're looking forward to getting back. But just on the game, this is a must win. Ange said after the game on Saturday in his press conference, this is a must win. We need to win this one, to get, as you say, to get the confidence back up, when we win away. But like, you lose this and, you've 0 points out of three games, and it wouldn't give the players a big confidence lift. And on paper, at least, this is one that we should be competitive in, because we are in with some good teams in the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I had a wee look today. Celtic are favourites for the game, and obviously we played the same team last year, and we get beat at Celtic Park in the Champions League qualifier. I don't see any reason why Celtic shouldn't get a good result tomorrow night. The mood's high, the team are settled. I don't think Ange will make too many changes at all. I'm thinking people are saying to me the crowd won't be that big, but I saw a good comment on Twitter today. It took me a couple of seconds to get it. This lady had said that she was sending her son into school with a note today that he was going to the dentist tomorrow. And she says, I would imagine a lot of kids are going to the dentist tomorrow. It took me a couple of seconds just to twig on what she was talking about. So I think that's going to happen. And I think, people will be throwing sickies at work or coming to an arrangement with their employers to at least take half a day off. I think when the Celtic shows in town, we always turn up. And I think they're a good, healthy crowd tomorrow night. And I'm looking forward to a good performance. I think Celtic fans have got a great feel-good factor about them just now. You saw the reaction at Pittodrie to Ange. I think it's really important that the manager feeds off the crowd and the crowd feeds off the manager. It's a two-way street there. And, Ange does it to me in good measure. He doesn't overdo it. He doesn't go over the top, your man from Liverpool over the South Side a couple of weeks ago there going crazy because he had get 3 points against a team with 10 men. So Ange didn't do that. Ange does an appreciation to the support of what they're giving him. And he's basically saying, we're in it together. Me and you, we're in it together. And you can see the fans. I mean, the friends at the Pittodrie, when Ange was waving to them, was fantastic. And as he walked off the park on Saturday there, he had a double fist pump like that, he does it in good measure. He's not doing it for effect. He's doing it because that's the way he feels. He's waking up every day, going to train with the team, and he needs results as well. He needs a kick. He needs a push. He needs a drag of energy. And the support are giving him that. And, when he gives that back, I think it's a great feel-good factor. And, long may it continue. I feel a lot better about Celtic, than I have done probably since the start of the season.
Yeah, and one player he'll be happy with is, I suppose, Jota has surprised us all. I'm always a bit weary when we bring a player in on loan because of what we had last season. And he just seems to be... I just watched his press conference, or not his press conference, his after-game interview earlier on, and he's learning. He's not like one of these, I'm this, I'm that. He seems to be delighted to be learning and getting game time, and he's repaying us.
Yeah, I like his attitude. There's a good mentality there. You're right, Andrew. He's very humble. He's not a big-time Charlie. He comes in, he looks like he's relishing the opportunity he's got at Celtic. I mean, remember, he's come from a good league and a good team. He's come across here, different climate, different people, different surroundings, and he seems to have taken to it right away. I think that is quite easy If you want to embrace it. If you look at the support, they'll embrace you, and you have to embrace them. So I think he has taken that on board pretty well. And, you know, Celtic fans have got a new hero there. The same with Kyogi. I mean, every time he's on the ball, you expect something exciting to happen. You just expect him to do something different. He's a very kind of different kind of player than what we've had. Swashbuckling, but a wee guy. He's a wee guy, but he's swashbuckling all the same. And, you know, he chases down and he harries. And his energy levels are fantastic. He's had them a couple of times now. He's travelled from the Far East and back here, you know, for the Saturday, for the weekend game. So, yeah, Jota and Kyogo. And I would like to think that Ange has got his eye on the market over in Japan for maybe a couple other players. You know, I like big demanding centre halves, big commanding guys. Martin O'Neill built his team around these kind of guys. And I think we maybe need somebody like that in there. You know, I don't know if you get those kind of guys in Japan.
I don't think so, Matt, because I spoke to a journalist from Japan. We had him on a couple of times, and he was saying you wouldn't be going shopping in the market for a solid centre half. You know what he said?
That kind of crossed my mind. You know,
the Japan model, I think, is they produce, you know, more attacking players, should we say? That was just coming from him now, but he could be wrong. There could be a gem there that we don't know about. But another player that travels around the world, the other side of the world, is Rodic. Kind of been, you know, a player that he's like Marmite among the support. Like, you know, some love him, some don't. Some say there's not 90 minutes in him, but he seems to have a new lease of life under Ange, and he also seems to have Ange believes in him. I think because I'm sure you've heard the conversation of why are Rodic and Turnbull in the same team, like, you know. But on Saturday, they proved that they can play together. And Turnbull has been, I suppose for all the talent he has, you know, sometimes he's been a little disappointing, and then other times he's lived up to his, I suppose, the price tag that we brought him in for and the commotion that surrounds him.
Yeah, I think he's still to find his feet, David Turnbull, you know, in as much as consistency. You know, we can see the skill he's got. I think some of the fans' problem with him, I can understand, is his lack of physicality. And, you know, you do have to look at him and say sometimes, can he last 90 minutes? His previous manager had said that he'd found that was a situation he had to deal with David, that, you know, lasting 90 minutes was a bit of a problem. But, you know, we've got a new science guy in there now, and, you know, Ange will get exactly what he wants out of players. I think, you know, last season, the season before, I think things were just allowed to run along when they weren't going well. I don't think Ange is that kind of guy. I think Ange will decide, you know, you either fit into my plans and bulk up or beef up or get better stamina about yourself, which you can achieve in training and good lifestyle, or else you're not in the team. Whereas I think before he just got in the team anyway. So, you know, I think players are having to try harder now, keep themselves fitter and to prove to the new manager. I like a manager who's fair but ruthless, who'll give everybody an opportunity, but also be prepared not to play him. If he's not doing what you want him to do. So I think I'm no science guy, but I would like to think that David could maybe make himself a bit stronger over a 90-minute period. You know, Rodic's got that situation as well about him. You know, you can't maybe play Tom Rodic midweek Saturday for 90 minutes all the time. And he has been used to the effect of, you know, coming in as a substitute or starting and not staying on the whole game. So, you know, I think maybe that's why Turnbull gets a wee bit sick. He lacks a bit of physicality and getting involved. I actually think we need more physicality in midfield. I think, you know, sometimes we're overrun a wee bit by a bigger team. Maybe not a more skillful team, but a bigger team who sort of, you know, almost physically bully out the way.
Yeah. I think it could be right there, Matt. And then when we're on the midfield, just a quick mention to McGregor. He's back now in the team, and like we did miss him.
Yeah, like Callum. Callum's really grown into a captain, I think. You know, if he'd said last season who's going to be the new captain, I know he was probably the sort of vice-captain, as it were, when Rooney was here. But I think he's really grown into it. You know, you see some of the close-up TV shots when he's in the huddle. And, you know, he's really telling the players how determined they have to be. You know, you don't know the actual words, but you can see by his gestures and his, you know, the way he puts himself that he's really encouraging the players from the off there. So I think he's grown into the captain. I like Callum. He's a good player. He's not the most physical player. So I think we need a wee bit of an enforcer in there. You know, I'm old enough to remember great midfield enforcers. Davy Hay, to me, was a god when I was young. I just loved Davy Hay because he sorted everybody out. I remember just a side issue here, and when we Jinky get battered about with various defenders, the jungle used to chant, "He's going to get you, he's going to get you." And he invariably did. You know, Davy Hay would look after me, Jimmy. So I think, you know, not looking for brute force here at all. Sometimes it's no bad thing. But, you know, looking for a more physical presence, I think, in there. I think you need at least one midfield player. You know, if you've got Roderick Turnbull and McGregor in there, you know, there's no physicality there.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep you off sidetrack now, once, because you brought Davy Hay up and Jimmy, and I'm going to, tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening to the podcast or watching us, is the 40th anniversary of Johnny Doyle's sad passing. And we're in a new venue, Morphy's, as I said, tomorrow for Celtic AM, and we're doing a Johnny Doyle special with Frank McGarvey coming along, with Paul McQuaid, who wrote the book on Johnny Celtic Daft.
I'll have to drop in, eh?
Well, there you go. There's another guest. With Joanna Doyle is popping along. And also Aaron Boyle will be there to give us a bit of poetry as well. But just, Matt, can you just give us just a few thoughts on Johnny? Because you're a little older than me. Johnny was before my time. I really enjoyed reading the book. You know, from a part-time player, like, you know, air, and then to come to Celtic to live his boyhood dream, like, you know. And as the book title says, he was Celtic daft, and that comes across in the book. Probably too daft at times.
I loved Johnny Doyle because for me, he was the fan in the jersey. I remember he got sent off down, I think it was at Somerset Park. He actually came from here to Celtic down at Somerset Park because he had kicked the ball and hit the referee, and the referee had sent him off. And he ran off the park, and Jock Stein tried to grab him at the tunnel to sort of slow him down, but Johnny was having none of it and shot straight past Big Jock. Johnny was the fan in the jersey, and that's why Celtic fans could identify with him. Celtic fans can see themselves as Johnny Doyle out there playing, because this guy really relished playing for Celtic. I was at Johnny's funeral, and I'll never forget, Tommy Burns was the last person to walk away from Johnny Doyle's grave. And he looked very upset as he was leaning over the graveside. And that was a very, very emotional time for Celtic fans and for the team, and obviously for Johnny's family. And it's good to see that Joanne's still around. I've met her a few times. She's a lovely girl. And, you know, she carries her dad's spirit well wherever she goes. And, you know, she talks about him with great love and great warmth that, you know, her dad played for Celtic and how much he loved doing that. Johnny was a fan in the jersey.
Yeah, it does. Like, I'm sure we'll hear some great stories tomorrow, but the one that sticks out from when we had Paul on talking to us about the book was, like, he would turn up at supporters' functions when he wasn't, you know, when he wasn't invited. If he didn't have a gig to go to, he would turn up, and he could be seen sweeping the hall with the ladies that ran the hall and having a cup of tea with them after the game. So he was, you know, he was, as you say, he was the fan in the jersey. He certainly was. And did I get a hint of a bit of emotion there when you spoke about Tommy Burns at the graveside?
Absolutely, yeah.
I felt that, and I went a bit cold, and I'm in a different country than you now, but tomorrow we'll hopefully hear all these stories together. Matt, it's been a pleasure to have you on. I know we're having a quick one because we want to get this one out tonight and maybe out on the audio.
Can I just add one thing there? You're talking about Johnny, you know, going to all the supporters' dues and, you know, always being around Celtic Park, even training was over, you know, he's just like being with the staff, the non-footballing staff, just enjoying the crack and the fun. Just you're talking about, you know, players turning up at supporters' dues. I used to run Paul, very friendly with Paul McStain. I used to run Paul's fan club back in 85 to 88, I think it was. And black and white days for you, you know. And I remember Paul telling me that he went to Celtic supporters' dues for 47 Saturday nights out of 52. Now, you can imagine that, you know, a player, you know, they obviously can't get out with their wife, you know, on a Friday night. And you would think that after a game on Saturday, you know, if they're married, whatever, or their friends or partner or girlfriend, that they'd want to get out. But Paul had done 47 Celtic supporters clubs dues in one particular year. And, you know, you think there's only 52 in a year, and, you know, two of them are at Christmas and New Year. You know, it doesn't take it much to work that out, that over the entire season, there are only two Saturday nights off.
Unbelievable.
So, you know, so that's the kind of commitment. And, you know, Johnny's in that category of being the fan who wants to go to the supporters' night out, who actually enjoys going. It's not a chore. You know, Frank McAvaney would often tell me that Billy would put up a list, a sheet of paper in the dressing room saying who was going to what supporters do that night. Whatever the dues were, spread all around the country, even over in Ireland, you know, yet that's where you're to be. And the players that were on that list had to go, and they were getting fined. Now, I don't know what the situation is now. I hear from a lot of clubs that, you know, it's difficult to get a player. You know, it's particularly
I'd say the players might get fined if they turned up as a supporters club do now.
So, you know, you'd get fined if, you know, if you didn't show up. Whether it was Maka, Derek White, Grante, Paul, you know, any of these boys. You know, that there was a real close connection there. Hopefully we can get that back. You know, I understand why, you know, players come from different countries and they're not used to that. You know, they're just used to doing the football thing. But I think it's good that the supporters can show a connection with the players and the players likewise.
Yeah, 100%, man. It brings back memories there because we've been at our supporters club. We had a little function the other night and it was just a members thing because of COVID. We were obviously restricted and we didn't have a player on that. But over the years, we've been lucky enough to have players come over and it means a lot. It means a lot to the fans to meet the players and that. And I always, when we started the little thing in the Celtic AM pre-match, just to give something a little different, we were delighted that players, you know, were willing to come along and chat to us and fans and, you know, whoever was. We've had playwrights and actors and poets. And so, you know, it's great that there's a good mix out there of guests that we can chat to. Because back then we weren't doing a podcast or even thinking of doing a podcast. We wanted to do something on match day. And the reason why I started, Matt, was because I would do an interview with a player. We would then pour in the magazine and I would be so excited about the interview. But some people would say, yeah, it was all right, you know, and maybe I thought we weren't getting it down on paper. So if we could get them in for 15 minutes and they could just talk a little to us or share some stories or give us a prediction for the game or whatever. So that's kind of where that started from. And then it developed into we'd done stuff at night and that. But it just goes to show you, you know, when you start something small, it does kind of grow legs. But the Celtic family is so, how would you say, there's so much talent within them, be the musicians, poets, writers, you know, and even we've spoke before, Matt, about how lucky we are to have, you know, the independent Celtic media we have and in the fanzine still going, like, you know, incredible. When I speak to other football fans of other clubs, you're lucky if there's one fanzine going. Still, you know, print copy still going, and we've got four going, which is great. Like, you know,
You know, keeping print copy going these days is a real job. It really is. I mean, people should never underestimate the effort that goes into getting these things produced, and you know, the contributions of the writers, because the writers for me, the writers in our magazine, and I know in yours as well, know, you have to have soul. You have to write with soul and emotion. Don't sit down and just write something. Write something because it means something to you, you know, and put those thoughts down, because the way I look at it, and I've always said it's quite straightforward, when the person picks up that magazine, they want to see themselves that that's how they feel, that they feel the same kind of way. There's a touch, there's definitely a touch in writing and producing, you know, and whether it's, you know, online podcasts and whatever, if you say it with soul, you say it with commitment and you feel it, then the person sits and enjoys the chat. I mean, you and I are sitting doing this, we're just sitting chatting away as two Celtic fans.
Matt, I think I just lost you there for a little bit, but you're back in. I could just see your smile, and I think it could even be my connection. But look, we're back on anyway. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. Hopefully, see you tomorrow in Murphy's for Celtic AM. Matt will be there. I'll be there. Frank McGarvey will be there. Joanna Doyle will be there. Paul McQuaid will be there. Aaron Boyle will be there. And I know there's a good few coming over from Ireland that's going to be there. And I'm looking forward to getting in, because I haven't been in the pub. It's only a new pub. So hopefully everything will go smoothly. And once again, folks, if you can hit that subscribe button, and I'll leave the last word to Matt.
I was just going to say that tomorrow is going to be a busy day for you in Malone's, and all the best in your...
We're not in Malone's, we're in Murphy's.
Well, Murphy's was... I said Malone's. Anyway, Murphy's.
A new bar closer to the ground in the Merchant City. I think it's next door to Connolly's.
Right, Murphy's. I used to drink Murphy's. Great venue. See you tomorrow.
See you then, Matt. Hail, hail.
Hail, hail.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.